Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The final buzzer has sounded, and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Now, let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
All right, there we go. This kind of felt like, the opposite of last night. Last night, Bucks couldn't get over the hump, and we were calling it a moral victory and doing that type of stuff after the game last night. Tonight, the Bucks had a 20-point lead in this dang thing. 20 points, they're by a dozen in the fourth, and blew it. Lead. And then it was, we lead, you lead, we lead, you lead, the last 4 or 5 minutes of this basketball game. Now, thankfully, the Milwaukee Bucks were able to hold on and win this dang thing, 115 to 108 over the Brooklyn Nets at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks, thankfully, get a couple days off now to get ready for the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday night. Thank goodness, because they're going to need a couple days. As much as I was okay with what happened yesterday, was not okay with what I watched tonight. Just, there were multiple things that I was unsatisfied with, not happy about. First off, this guy, let's see here. This guy, right here.
Bobby Portis to kind of step up and start getting in his offensive package.
Here's Pat Bev on the drive. He finds Green. Not this time, but the rebound down low, and they're going to get another look at it. Green says, I'm not shy. Yeah.
Don't worry.
A.J. Green, 5 3-pointers tonight off the bench, giving his team a huge lift to the tune of 15 points in 10 minutes of action.
I would like somebody to explain to me why, when he is going and you're blowing a lead and giving up the lead, why wouldn't you even consider, think of possibly putting him in for Malik Beasley at some point? Why would it even cross your mind? Again, Malik Beasley, nothing to write home about defensively. Had a nice possession or two at the end, fine. I'll give you that. And he had a shot. But when the momentum clearly had shifted, you had the flamethrower over there on the bench that had been knocking down threes all night. You never even once thought to go look over him and go, we're going to see if you can get us back going again here. You can say whatever you want about Giannis. But Giannis, if you look at his numbers, 21-9-5, he won right. He won. And I, you know, whatever the case may be, he just didn't feel right to me at all. That one timeout they called there at the end of the fourth, that's because Giannis pretty much, I think, asked for the timeout. Giannis was walking. The rest of the team was past half court. And you saw Doc Rivers look over at him and go, "You all right, man? We need to call timeout? You good? And Doc called timeout. Giannis went over and sat down. I think they called that timeout because Giannis needed some time. And that was what? A possession after he went up for that dunk and then fell down on his butt after he dunked the basketball. So I don't think Giannis was really right necessarily tonight. Like, you saw Chris Middleton come back the last two games and he looked right. Giannis just didn't appear right tonight. And he still came up with some big plays there in the fourth quarter, without question. But he didn't feel right. Lillard, you know, he gets the points at the end, comes up big. But again, Lillard, leading up to that fourth quarter, he wasn't nothing to shake a stick at. There was nothing great about Damian Lillard tonight up until the fourth quarter. And then he got going there in the fourth. When they needed him, he came through, which is why you traded for him for those moments to come through and hit big shots, which he did. And that's the type of stuff that you want to see. I mean, look, here's one of them. And again, all these highlights courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin.
They need to knock down in a situation like this. That's a travel that Giannis gets away with.
There's a three-pointer. Lillard makes him pay. Milwaukee does catch a break there. Giannis was leaning back, had the chair pulled out from behind
him. Yes, he did.
Kevin Ollie.
And pleading for a call.
Most displeased. That was a huge break for the Bucks.
It was a huge break for the Bucks, and they went back and they looked at that play on replay. Yeah, you about had that third step down. It was close, but if I was a Nets fan or if I was on the Nets bench, I'd have been yelling and screaming too for a foul or for a travel on Giannis, no question. Because in real time, when it happened, and you don't get the replay, but in real time, I don't know how you don't blow your whistle on that one. I guess that's why they're NBA refs, and I'm not. I would have blown the whistle every time on a travel call. But either way, they got away with it a little bit, right? And then you hit that big shot when you needed that big shot later. And that's what you want to see from this Milwaukee Bucks team. You know, Lillard hitting shots when you need shots. And not only was he hitting shots when you need shots, but he was also coming up with steals in this game as well.
Smith drives. He has his pocket pick. Lillard with his second pilfer here in this late going. Three-pointer. Malik Beasley. A little shimmy. And the Bucks go back out in front by five with a buck 37 to go here in regulation.
And that may not have been, you know, the final nail in the coffin or whatever you'd like to call it. But to me, that was pretty much going to seal it up pretty nice and neat there. 106-101 on that play. And Lillard had two steals down the stretch there to set that whole one up thing up. He had another steal earlier when Giannis gets the and-one call that made it 98-96. Giannis would make the free throw to make it 99-96. So two big steals by Lillard to really help this Bucks team down the stretch. So there were definitely positives. I didn't understand A.J. Green not coming back in when this thing was slip-sliding away. And it didn't matter because they were able to get it under control and still win it. But I guess that was one of my things. The other thing, now this is now two games in a row where you've seen Brook Lopez kind of not be out there with the guys necessarily in big moments. That's interesting. And maybe you won't see it in the playoffs or whatever the case may be. Bobby Portis didn't rotate on the one defensive possession that cost him. And you saw Portis turn to the bench, kind of throw his hands up like, did I screw that one up? And if you listen to Marcus Johnson, yeah, he probably did screw that one up by not rotating over and allowing an easy basket in that situation. Lots to talk about here. Bucks come up with a win, even though they blew a 20-point lead, 115-108. Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's. Don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's, which means that you head over to Wendy's here within the next 24 hours, get yourself a free small Frosty. And oh, by the way, don't forget, they have the Dreamsicle Frosty going on right now for a limited time. So you can either get a chocolate Frosty or a Dreamsicle Frosty. And those Dreamsicle Frosties, man, woo-wee, those things are good. So that would be my preference. That's what I would tell you to go get your free Frosty. Your kids will love the orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Go take advantage of that. Painter Mike, you're next here on 1250 AM The Fan. What's up, buddy?
Good evening. Long time no talk there, Steve.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really pleased with the way that Doc Scott is playing defense. I don't mind these fouls late because it's our defense. And that's all right. I don't mind them. You have to play hard, especially in the playoffs. You have to play hard defense. You get silly fouls because refs call them. But I like how we play right now. The way that Doc has got the Bucks going, it's nice and smooth.
You know, that's the thing, and I'm sure you've probably been to a couple of Bucks games this year and so forth. I think there was a lot of energy and a lot of excitement around Lillard, obviously, when they got Lillard. And then I think since then, it's been kind of a roller coaster where you got some people still going, oh, I don't know if he's really the guy. Maybe they should have kept Holiday. And then you obviously have some people that say he'll be there when you need him in the playoffs. Where are you on Lillard?
I like Lillard. He's our closer. He's money. He cannot take that away from him. He had 12 assists tonight, 30 yep. and 12.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. You can't take that away. Holiday wouldn't have those numbers.
No. And if Holiday did have those numbers, see Devin once or twice, and that's it.
Like you were saying, he got two steals late. He does play defense. It's hard to guard out there on the backcourt. It's hard. The guards are, at the mercy of the other guard. It's tough to play defense out there. Not everybody can do it, but you just got to try. And he tries. That's all you can ask for.
Totally agree. So where are you painting nowadays? Where are you at, Mike? Where are you
actually on the east side right now over on Downer Street.
Oh, nice. That's not too bad. I'm assuming, are you inside or outside? Inside?
Inside right now. Still.
Yeah, so the snow won't mess. Snow will mess you up tomorrow, then you'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Good. Be careful driving, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Yep.
There he is, Mike the Painter, a longtime listener, 1250 AM The Fan. Always good to catch up with some of these loyal, fine folks of The Fan. You can dial it up as well, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. After the Bucks come up with a victory tonight after blowing a huge lead. And the other part about this is Dennis Schroeder, earlier in this game with that foul on Giannis. Now, Schroeder and Crowder both get technicals, and then Giannis gets a technical. But really, at the end of the day, should that have been a flagrant on Schroeder? I think that's the conversation that was kind of happening on social media when that whole thing was going on, was that should have been more than maybe just a technical. And I don't know necessarily when the NBA decides to make that a flagrant kind of going forward. But they have to. You are going to get guys hurt. And just forget the idea that it was Giannis, right? Because that's what everybody's going to hold on to. Everybody's going to hold on to the fact that, well, you don't want to see your superstar get hurt. But I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Like, I don't want to see him doing that to Crowder. I don't want to see him doing that to Bobby Portis or anybody else. You don't want to see a player get hurt for that dumb crap. And again, Schroeder's another one of those guys, right? Like Pat Bev and some of these other dudes. They're going to push the line, right? If it's kind of legal and it's kind of in there, they're going to kind of dip their toe across the line and see what happens. That's how they play. And in this situation here with the Nets, I mean, more than likely, they're not going to be in the play-in tournament, right? More than likely, their season is over. And they have not been playing well. And you have Kevin Ollie, the former UConn head coach, former Milwaukee Buck out there coaching them, doing the best job he can. And third quarter, I don't think Giannis even scored in the third quarter. If he did, it wasn't very much there at the end. So they get on that run there in the third. So much in this game. But that rule specifically on that Schroeder play, that should be more than a technical foul. That should be a flagrant foul. And again, you start talking about Jay Crowder. That's what you want some of these guys to do, right? You want some of these guys to be the enforcer and protector so Giannis doesn't have to do his own stuff. Somebody takes a cheap shot at Giannis or whatever the case may be. You want some of these other guys like Portis and Crowder and those guys to step up and have his back. That's what you want. And we'll have to wait and see as we get into the playoffs, you know, how much more of this, happens and whether or not they're able to stop it. I think the NBA really does need to step in and do something about it before next year. they're not going to do it before the playoffs, probably. But before next year, I'd like to see him step in and do something. 115-108 Bucks over the Brooklyn Nets. Back after this with more of your calls. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. It is the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's see what the numbers say about today's game as we dive into the box score. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM The Fan.
Welcome in. Bucks come up victorious 115-108. We will get back into this box score. We'll get some calls in a little bit here before we get back to the box score. You can dial it up if you'd like, 414-677-1250. Keep this phone number in your phone going forward for the post-game shows. We'll be doing them after every game, rest of the way out. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here with you. You can follow me on Twitter at Sparky Radio. Follow at 1250 AM The Fan. You can tweet at either one of those during, after games, during the week for any other sport you'd like to talk about, have at it, be a part of the conversation. Always like talking back and forth with listeners. But the Bucks win 115-108. Highlighting this box score quickly before we really get more into it later. 30 points, 12 assists, 3 boards. for Dame Lillard. 11 of 22, 5 of 11 from 3, 3 boards for him. Giannis, 21, 9 boards, 5 assists, 9 of 19 from the floor for him. 17 points, 5 boards for Brooke Lopez. 16 points, 6 boards for Malik Beasley. 15 off the bench for A.J. Green, who was 5 of 7 from 3. And it was the A.J. Green game until they blew a huge lead, and then it became more about Lillard down the stretch there. Q in Tulsa, you're next here on 1250 AM The Fan. What's up, Q?
Sparky, we are still getting to know Damian Lillard, and he's a bad man. Those two fourth quarter steals were unbelievable. I did not know that he had that in his bag. And I'm ecstatic. Like yesterday, we were talking. Wake us up in May and June when the playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals begin. I'm going to take a step back from that. I do believe we will play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals and beat them to go to the finals. But I am enjoying every second of every game right now because this is just beautiful. We've got two. Top 75 players in the league. There's only a handful of teams in this league that can say that. Most of them are in major markets. And little old Wisconsin, we've got Damian Lillard just going Dame time in Milwaukee tonight. And we've got Giannis. And he was like an afterthought for much of this game. So I'm very excited. I'm trying to soak it in. And I know it is annoying to give up a 20-point lead against a team that's going to be getting a lottery pick this year, but
let me ask you this. Did you watch that game and think Giannis looked right? Because he didn't look right to me.
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look like he's hitting on all cylinders. But I also wonder, like, when I was watching that fourth quarter, I can't remember if it was his last interview or the interview before, Giannis was saying that he was trying to make a point that this is Dame's team, particularly in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And it seemed to me that Dame was taking the ball up the court a lot more than he used to. And part of that might be that Middleton wasn't playing. I think in the fourth, oftentimes when we've got the big three, it's like a third, who's dribbling up the court. And sometimes Chris does it a little more than he should. But it seemed to me that Dame had the ball and Giannis was making sure that Dame had the ball when we really needed to make sure that we kind of got our hands back on the wheel after we were swerving all over the road a little bit.
that's an understatement. Swerving all over the road would be correct, right? Which brings us to the snowfall tomorrow. So be careful when you're out there driving. Q, thanks for the call. That is really going to be something to watch. And everything I bring up kind of goes back to the playoffs because that's really what this is all about. And I hope everybody understands that. Everything right now till we get to the end of the year, whatever that is, 13th, 14th, whatever that last game is, between now and then, it is really about getting any type of flaws or miscommunications or issues ironed out as much as humanly possible between now and then. So when you go into the playoffs, you want to be as on top of your game as possible, whether it be running sets correctly, whether it be communicating on defense, whether it be giving consistent effort night in and night out, whether it be playing physical on defense, something that Doc Rivers was pointing out hasn't been happening necessarily as much these last couple of games and needs to be improved. If you really think about it, this has never really been an overly physical basketball team per se, right? I mean, P.J. Tucker tried to bring some of that to this basketball team, but it really has never been like that. If you think of Doc's teams, whether it be in Philadelphia, whether it be in Boston, I don't know as much about the Clippers, but Philly and Boston for sure, very physical teams, right? You knew when you played them. You walked out of there with bumps and bruises, and you knew you played those guys. You think of Perkins and Garnett and Pierce and those guys. Those are all defensive-minded players for the most part. Now, on this basketball team, about Paul Pierce, maybe I take that back about Pierce, but Garnett and Perkins. But when we talk about this basketball team here, you don't have as many of those guys as maybe he's had in the past. And when you talk about playing that style of basketball, I argue that either you have it in you or you don't. I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think you can coach that up. I don't. I mean, you can yell and you can scream and be more physical. Guys are only going to be as physical as their brain allows them to be. Some dudes love contact, love it, live for it, love the beating and the banging underneath and doing all that stuff, all about it. They guys don't want anything to do with it, just don't like it. And if you're going to want your defense to play that way, I'm all for it. I just don't know if you have the players on this team that are going to be able to give you that type of thing for four quarters every game, game in and game out. We talked about this last post game show last night. They can give it to you in stretches. I just don't think they can give it to you consistently like how he's asking. When you get to the summer, then you can remake this roster more in the way of what you want this roster to look. Doc did not get that opportunity coming in halfway through the season. So when you get through the season, whether that's with an NBA championship, whether that's getting to the finals and losing, whether that's getting to the Eastern Conference finals or losing, and or God forbid you lose before you even get to that point in the playoffs, however the season ends, you get to the postseason, and then you and John Horst, Peter Fagan, and the rest of these guys, Edens, all sit down and have a conversation about how Doc wants the roster to look, about who fits into how Doc wants to play. Because every coach has certain type of players that they want on their team that represents how they want their team to play basketball. Pat Beverly represents Doc. No question. He wants more of those dudes with that defensive first mentality to get out there and play. That's what he wants. More guys like him. Not the chatter and the running of the mouth and all that nonsense. None of that stuff. But just the want to play defense. The want to be physical. The want to get up in dudes' grills. That's what he wants from more than just a couple of guys. So how this roster transitions and gets massaged or reformed in the summertime will be in large part to what Doc Rivers wants it to look like going forward. And we'll see what it looks like at that point. But until then, he's got to play with what he's given. And at some point, I would think, he's going to realize what he wants them to do, they might not just be able to do because of the personnel that he's got. At some point, he might just have to say, all right, look, y'all ain't going to give me this. That's fine. But I do need it for 3 minutes here in the fourth quarter. Or I need it here for 3 minutes in the second. Then it's got to be, I have to be able to get you to give me it for spurts in a game. Key spurts. In a timeout. Hey, come on. We got to play the way I want to play for the next 2 or 3 minutes here. And see how long we can last with this. But I just don't know if you can continue to hammer in a point where I just don't know how far it's really going. I feel like he might be, banging his head against a brick wall at this point, trying to get this home when a lot of these guys don't play that way. And this isn't a young team. These are guys that have been playing their whole lives and have been in the NBA for a bunch of time, and you're not going to change them at this point. Now, these were a bunch of young guys and you're trying to convert them? Maybe. Maybe you got a chance. This is the Thunder, let's say. Okay, maybe you could convert some of those guys over. But when you have one of the oldest teams in the NBA, and these guys have all been through it, they are who they are at this point. It's probably not going to happen. So more than likely, all you're going to get out of this is spurts of how you want this thing to really look at the end of the day. And what you want it to look like at the end of the day is a win, preferably not blowing a 20-point lead, but a win nonetheless. 115-108, Bucks over the Brooklyn Nets. Coming up in about 20, 25 minutes or so, going to talk with Chris Monter, college basketball news. Eric Name had a piece in The Athletic, And he went through and he laid out, it was a great piece, different players, you know, that might make sense for the Bucks when they come up to draft, because they're actually going to have a couple picks. And guys that you could watch throughout the NCAA tournament, if you're a Bucks fan and want to kind of see, oh, he might be there for the Bucks. I kind of like this dude. Oh, Eric says this guy might be there. Nah, not really a fan. Don't want that guy. This is your chance, right? Eric's giving you a blueprint. So I saw that. I was like, oh, that's really good. So I'm like, I'm going to go with my draft guy, Chris Monter, College Basketball News. I've known Chris for, oh, God, I don't know, 20 years. So I called Chris or texted Chris earlier today. I said, hey, I want to kind of go over some of these guys that may be available for the Bucks in the tournament, guys who you think. I didn't tell him I'm going off Eric names list, nothing like that. I just want to see some of the names he comes up with. And then if he doesn't come up with a couple that Eric has, I'll throw those guys out and see what Chris Monter has to say. So a little Bucks draft talk, but it's timely because a bunch of you, I know, are watching the NCAA tournament nonstop on every waking moment here for the next 4 days. And then you'll take a little bit of a breather for 2 or 3 days and right back at it again next weekend. I filled out a bracket. I did an NCAA bracket. However, I will tell you, I did not watch one single solitary second of the tournament today. Not 1 second. Between work, we're trying to find a used car to buy, which has been hell on earth for me for the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Just absolutely horrible. Still don't have one. Don't really want to talk about that aspect of it. But either way, so I was trying to, again, went and looked at another car this afternoon. I went home, had dinner, and then the Bucks came on, and back to the station I came. So haven't watched any part of the tournament. Saw the upset. Saw Oakland beat Kentucky. And John Calipari leaves that one. Saw a kid from Pewaukee had a big game as well, which is great. Some more props to Wisconsin and so forth. So a lot of that good stuff. So I figured since everybody's into this tournament and all into it, it would be a good time to get Chris Monter on the show. So we'll talk to him coming up in about 20 minutes. Bucks get the win tonight. Very happy about that. And if you're, you know, really thinking, the place you want to be to watch all the tournament action is Potawatomi Casino, baby. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold with a huge video wall, seating for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. State-of-the-art venue opens this May. Still a fun place to go make your wagers and so forth on the kiosks and the other stuff that they have over there. The Potawatomi makeshift sportsbook for the time being. They got special guests that are coming out here the next few days and over the weekend. You can meet different people. I think Steve Novak and Travis Diener are going to be out there one of the days. If you want to go meet them, get their autographs and that whole deal. Both super nice guys. I think you'd be very, very happy meeting both of those guys. Very cool. So the Bucks get the win, 115-108. Take a quick timeout and come back. We will go further in depth of that box score because we really didn't do it the last time. That's next here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
But now scored 21-6 now in this fourth quarter and 46-27 in the second half. Giannis tees up a three, and that was a big shot. That will get the Bucks even here inside of 6 minutes to go, and perhaps that is the spark that will ignite the offense.
And that tied it at 90, that three there, highlight courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. Dave Cade, Marcus Johnson on the call for that one. And the Bucks, go on to win this basketball game over the Brooklyn Nets, 115-108. It is the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. If you'd like to hop aboard, talk about this game tonight. Not sure if you were as frustrated as I was watching that lead get blown, but I was definitely frustrated watching that thing evaporate. And then I was equally frustrated that A.J. Green wasn't given another shot there about midway through the fourth quarter after he had 5 threes in that game to get him 15 points. Let's go inside the box score here. Jay Crowder, 30 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 3 from three, 3 boards, 2 assists, 6 points. Giannis, 35 minutes, 9 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three, including that three that he just shot there. 9 boards, 5 assists, 21 points. Again, didn't look right to me. Brooke Lopez, 28 minutes, 7 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 5 from three, 17 points, 5 boards. Damian Lillard, 37 minutes, 11 of 22 from the floor, 5 of 11 from 3, 30 points, 12 assists, 3 boards. Just, again, 50% from the field. And another guy where you're like, the whole game, like, oh, he's okay. Nothing great. But when you need him, there in the fourth, as he likes to call it, Dame time, it was there. Malik Beasley, 31 minutes, 5 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 7 from 3, 6 boards, and 16 points. Off the bench, 15 points for A.J. Green in just 14 minutes of action, hit all 5 threes. Pat Connaughton, 15 minutes of action, was 1 of 4, missed the 3, took 4 assists, 2 points. Pat Bev, 19 minutes, 0 of 4 from the field, 3 of those were 3s, missed all of them. 3 boards, 2 assists, 2 points. Bobby Portis, 30 minutes, 2 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 2 from three-point land, 6 points, 9 rebounds. Bucks shoot 47%, 44.5% for the Nets. The Bucks 16 of 41 from 3 for 39%. The Nets 13 of 44 for 29.5%. Bucks get out-rebounded 49 to 40. That is an area that just cannot happen in the playoffs. When you get in the playoffs and you face a team like this, you should not get out-rebounded. It should not be a thing. Now, you can say, back-to-back game, Bucks were tired, but the Bucks had, what, 4 or 5 days off or something like that before this, coming into this back-to-back, and now they're going to get 2 more days off before they face the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I guess you could say it, they're tired, right? Long year, whole deal. Maybe you can lay it to that and say that's what happened. You know, the Nets were chilling in Milwaukee waiting for the Bucks to get back from that game against the Celtics. And it was a rivalry game, right? So as Doc pointed out, to Doc, it wasn't that big of a deal. But to the players, regardless if they say it or not, he even said it yesterday that he thought for sure there was some added energy to those Bucks players playing that game yesterday, and they weren't able to get over the hump and so forth, and they lost, and then you come home and you play right away. I would expect to see a much better effort from Giannis for sure coming up on Sunday. I would expect Chris Middleton will play on Sunday because Chris Middleton did not play tonight, and we said that was probably going to happen. We said that, when did we say that? Sunday, I guess it was. Now, more than likely, he wouldn't play both games of the back-to-back. That he'd probably play Wednesday in Boston and then on Thursday against the Nets. That's exactly what happened. And I saw some people on social media say, well, you know, he got hit in the jaw and da-da-da-da-da. I don't think it had anything to do with that at all. I think this was kind of planned, that they were going to give him a rest day here. He played way more minutes than I think they anticipated in that Boston game. So now you give him a break. That gives him 3 days off. Before that Thunder game on Sunday. And that is going to be a fun one because that is a lot of young dudes that can get up and down the court. And the one area where the Bucks have kind of struggled, I guess you could say, throughout this year is when you play younger teams that are athletic, that can run. So we'll see how they deal with Oklahoma City coming up on Sunday night. That will be fun to see. Damian Lillard had a chance to talk to Melanie Ricks after the game tonight, and that, of course, was on Bally Sports Wisconsin, and this is how it went.
Whenever you score big, this team really plays well. They see a lot of success when you are playing so well. How does that feel to you, knowing that?
It just lets me know what I bring to the team. You know, when we at our best, that's when I'm attacking, I'm being aggressive, and I'm kind of putting the defense in a bad position. And usually our offense is good, our team is playing better, our pace is better. So as the season is going on, I try to just be in attack mode more and more. As I settle in and realize that that's when our team is at our best, you know, I'm doing it more and more.
Well, and speaking of defense, that's also something for you. You've been a monster on defense this season, and obviously people know you on offense. Do you feel like you've seen improvement in yourself and being a part of this team and being so aggressive?
Definitely. I think in the past I've had to carry a lot of the load offensively. You know, in this league it's tough, so always having it on both ends of the floor is a tough task. And coming to this organization, you know that our goal is to win the championship. And I know that that's not possible if we don't put the same effort offensively on the defensive end. And, you know, I think my whole life, all the way up till I got to the league, I've always guarded the other team's best player. And when I got to the league, you know, things just changed. And I think this season has just been an opportunity for me to show, you know, when it comes down to it, I can get it done on this side of the floor, too.
And you're taking advantage of that opportunity. Congrats, Dame.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's have a conversation about what was just said. Can we talk about this, please? Last night, Doc pulls Lillard for Pat Bev. And I said last night, you know, Nathan Marzion in the Green Growing podcast was right. He said that, you know, that's what they should do. That's the right move. Got to talk to Lillard first, obviously, but that's something they should do. I question whether or not Doc talked to Dave Lillard or not before he did that. Like, I think that just happened in the game. Dame rolled with it. But I don't know if you're going to see that again. Because listening to those comments that he had right there after the game, right? Then going back in your memory bank to these two big plays in the game as well.
Thomas working on it now.
Switch day one. Great defense. Dame. Switch Dame's away with a pickpocket. Leeson looking for his wallet. Here comes Giannis. Counter with a foul. The Greek Freak's got another one coming.
That made it 98-96. And then there was this one.
Smith drives. He has his pocket pick. Lillard with his second pilfer here in this late going. Three-pointer. Mike Beasley. A little shimmy. And the Bucks go back.
That situation last night, I think, pissed him off. That's what I think. Pissed him off. And if that is something that pissed him off, A plus for not physically showing that it got you pissed off while it was happening. Like, he handled it very well. But if that motivates him to do more of this, in big situations, getting a couple of steals, being a difference maker on that side of the floor, if that's what it took, then A-plus to Doc Rivers for pulling it. Good job. Because I had said on the Green Growing podcast, there's no way you're sitting Dame Lillard. I don't care who's on the other side of the ball. You are not sitting that dude in a situation like that. There's too much ego and pride involved when you're a player at his level to get sat in a big moment. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm telling you, it made him mad. It would make me mad if I was him. Because all this rhetoric that led up to the season was Drew Holiday's such a great defender and Dame Lillard sucks. And, you know, people just run by Dame Lillard. That's what it was. Go back to that opening presser where Dame Lillard is like, I know I'm getting a lot of grief about my defense pretty much, but I'm not that bad of a defender. Like, I can hold my own. He made a point of talking about that because it was a talking point about how much of a drop-off there was between Drew and Dame. And then you fast forward into the season, and here you are in March, about a month out from the playoffs, and he gets pulled in a big moment of a game. And you're just like, oh my goodness gracious. That just happened. And I really thought, like Nathan Marzion said, that they probably talked to him ahead of time. Like, leading up to it, Doc probably sat him down and said, hey, dude, look, this is how it's going to be. There's going to be moments where I'm going to put Pat Bev in because he's a better defender than you. Are you good? And the assumption would be, Lillard said, yeah, I get it, man. Fine. Go ahead. That would be the assumption of how that went. Now, I listened to that with Melanie Ricks of Melanie Sports Wisconsin, and I have a whole other opinion of how this may have played out without knowing for certain. Because now I think that maybe they didn't have this conversation and Doc just did it. And Lillard was like, holy cow, really? Because here, watch this. And I think maybe, who knows, this really motivated him now to get going on that side of the floor. That's good. That's great news. As a Bucks fan, hallelujah, right? The better he plays on defense late in games, the better it is for the Bucks. And the better it is for their chances of winning, better for everybody. So I'm happy that's how it played out. But me being media guy, right? Always get accused of being media guy. I'm reading into that whole answer there at the end there with Melanie Ricks. And to me, that's a guy saying, that's not happening again. I'm going to play good enough defense where Doc's not going to pull me again. That will not happen again. I feel like that was that Dame took that as a challenge from Doc. And Doc probably said after the game, hey, man, you want to stay out there? You got to play better defense in the fourth. I'll leave you out there, but you got to give me something. And Dame tonight, he gave him something. Gave him two big steals. Big moments of the basketball game that led to points on the other end. That happens in the playoffs. And Lillard can kind of get a steal or two in big moments. That makes him even more dangerous going forward. It makes this Bucks team even more dangerous going forward. If he can get better at doing that. So that is a development for sure tonight. And I don't know what everybody locally on Sports Talk Radio will be talking about tomorrow. But it ought to be those comments right there. That there. Circle that right there. And now let's see how this plays out going forward. Let's see if Doc pulls him again in a big moment of a game, late in a game situation in the fourth quarter or overtime. Bet you it doesn't happen again. Maybe I'll be wrong. Won't be the first time, won't be the last time. But I don't think you're going to see it again. I really don't. Not after listening to that. Because I think he has now accepted the challenge and he's going to give him something to make sure that he stays out there on that basketball court going forward. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to my guy Chris Monser over there at College Basketball Weekly. And I'm excited to talk to Chris because I haven't talked to him in a while, to be honest with you. And I want to see what he thinks as far as some of these guys in the NCAA tournament that might be around that pick where the Bucks are there in the first round or maybe even in the second round. You know, these late first-round picks and second-round picks that might make some sense for the Bucks, knowing what this roster looks like, knowing, you know, who's in the tournament that we as Bucks fans can, you know, oh, this game's on. Chris said this guy might be available for us around the Bucks. Big might make a good fit. Let's watch him. And then we can determine whether or not you want him or not. Because I know a lot of you don't watch college basketball all year. Some of you do. And some of you just watch Badgers. Some of you just watch Marquette. Don't watch anything else. So this will be an educational experience for you as well. So Chris Monser joins us coming up next. The Bucks get the win tonight over the Brooklyn Nets, 115-108. Don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. You get 24 hours to take advantage of simply going to Wendy's. Tell them, hey, I want my small Frosty, because when the Bucks win, you win, and they won. And then you get your choice of the brand new orange Dreamsicle Frosty or a chocolate Frosty. I love me some chocolate. That's always my go-to. But I'm telling you right now, I'm having the Dreamsicle every single time I go to Wendy's from now until the time it runs out. Because they're saying it's limited time only. How long that's going to be, don't know. But I would take advantage of it at Wendy's for sure. Bottom line, me Sportsbook Probes post-game show served up by Wendy's with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, here on 1250 AM. The Fan, back with Chris Monser next.
Finish off a feisty, pesky Nets team here tonight.
We'll give Kevin Knowley's crew credit. They made the Bucks have to work for this one.
Dame's going to launch another three.
Uh-huh.
Bingo.
But work is what I do.
And with that three, he has just tied Ray Allen for the second most threes in a Bucks single season.
Can I just say that these single season three-point numbers are completely worthless right now in the NBA. I guess it doesn't mean anything to me whatsoever. It really doesn't. And I'm sure it doesn't mean anything to Ray Allen either at this point. Because the amount of threes being taken in games now compared to what it was back when Ray and Glenn played in those guys, it's not even comparable. So, of course, you're going to see these numbers get shredded up. Malik Beasley, he's going to have the unbelievable numbers. You saw that graphic on TV today with him and Lillard with threes made in a season. That whole stat means nothing. What does mean something, though, is the Milwaukee Bucks come up victorious, 115-108. It's Potawatomi Sportsbook Probes postgame show served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan, being joined now by a guy I turn to all the time for anytime we get to around the NBA draft. He is my guy, Chris Monser, College Basketball News. Follow him on Twitter, at @CollegeBBNews, at @CollegeBBNews. Chris, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Great time of the year. My birthday was last week, and of course, I'm a big basketball person, as you well know, and big in Minneapolis area. We got the Big Ten women's, Big Ten men, of course, the NCAA tournament this weekend. The Timberwolves are playing well, and the high school skate championships for the boys, high school, is this week, too. So if you're a basketball fan like I am, obviously a great time of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. Lots of basketball to talk about. All right, so I want to get your thoughts kind of on the NCAA tournament. I was saying earlier, I haven't really watched a second of it to this point. I'm sure I will as we get closer to the week and just been extremely busy. When we talk about guys showing up and showing out in these games, how much does it really raise their draft stock when somebody has a big game in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I was thinking about, in my newsletter, I'd always have the stats of the players in the NCAA tournament. I remember years ago, Andrew Wiggins was the number one pick. He had a very bad game. You might remember for Kansas, Jabari Parker, of course, was the Milwaukee pick.
Yep.
Had a particularly bad game for Duke that year, and yet those players were still high picks. Obviously, you can see players whose stock could move up based on how well they play, but I don't think, you know, I always feel like you can't put too much emphasis on one thing. You know, a player can play great in one game. You can't put too much into that. A player can conversely play poorly in a game. And you know, I feel like a lot of times I'd talk to scouts and they wouldn't necessarily like it when their coaches were at games, because sometimes all of a sudden the kid has a great game and that head coach, who maybe hasn't seen a lot of the college players just because he's too busy with his own team, all of a sudden gets enamored with that kid who maybe just happened to have one great game. So I think it's important. Obviously, you want to play best when the pressure's best, because obviously, if you're going to get to the NBA level, you know, you're going to be in a lot of pressure situations. But you have to make sure you're not putting too much emphasis on one or two games.
What about guys that play for smaller schools? You know, and they don't get the same level of competition during the course of a season as some of these Power 5 schools get. And then they have a good showing against a bigger team, like in Oakland versus a Kentucky or something along those lines.
Yeah, especially a player that you probably are very familiar with who had the monster game, 10 threes, played for Pewaukee,
yep,
who's been one of the top programs in the state. I got a chance to see them play last couple of years with two outstanding players that they had who were going to play at a very high level. One's playing in the NCAA tournament as well for Iowa State, and then Nick next year will be playing at Nebraska, who made the tournament this year. So they've been an outstanding program, lost in the championship game this year, but they've been a very key team. So you're right. Obviously, even he admitted that he's not going to play in the NBA, but hey, it definitely raised his profile, and you know, you can maybe see him maybe hopefully get an opportunity to play someplace, maybe worst case. But you're right, you want to see those players step up and play well, and it just shows you in college basketball, especially since you were talking about the 3-point line in the NBA game, it's so big. In the college game, you get a player who makes 10 threes, you know, you can beat a team that's loaded with McDonald's All-Americans like Oakland was able to do today.
Yeah, just absolutely crazy. All right, Chris, so give me two, three players here that we can watch in the tournament that may be there for the Bucks who actually get a first-round pick this year.
Yeah, amazing for the Bucks, because obviously they're a team that, you know, obviously is built somewhat through the draft in the past with players like Giannis, but, you know, they've been able to do it via very different ways, you know, whether it be a free agent, whether it be a trade like Dame this year, you know, Chris Middleton was kind of a steal, obviously, getting him the way they did. But I think this year, you know, to be honest, I don't think the 2024 draft is a great draft. The college game, remarkably, I feel has changed a lot just because of maybe the transfer portal, which I'm not super crazy about, and NIL, because this year I vote for the Wooden Award. I helped pick the players for the Wooden Award. They recently announced the top 15 for that award. 12 players from that list are seniors, and that is very rare. We've seen a run for a while where freshmen would win the award, but you'll probably have a back-to-back winner in Zach Edey winning it this year from Purdue. So I think the college game has changed a little bit, and maybe having that extra COVID year, you know, has kind of made it a little bit different as well. But, you know, obviously, if you're Milwaukee, you're not looking for a player who's going to immediately step in, but you're looking for a player who can give you something, whether it be a player who can rebound or can play extremely good defense or can give you another three-point weapon. So I think there's some players that they can look for maybe in the later part of that first round. Unfortunately, one player whose name I've heard a little bit, you know, as a possible late first-round pick who I thought made some sense for a team like Milwaukee, although he could go a little bit higher, Kevin McCullough,
yeah,
from Kansas, their leading scorer. unfortunately, he's hurt.
Yep.
And they, of course, also have a very talented big man, Hunter Dickinson, you might recall,
yeah,
from Michigan.
Don't like him. Don't want anything to do with him. Screw him. I don't want him. No. No. I had my fill of him in Michigan. No.
Right. But he's a player, obviously.
I know.
Back Kansas, you know, whether or not how far they can go. But McCullough, I think, was a player who made some sense because he, you know, has a lot of experience. He's a transfer who transferred to Texas Tech, but a player who could score, put up some pretty big numbers. But again, I just look at this draft as not really a great draft. And if you're a team, you know, that's drafting high, you know, and you're a team that hasn't been in the postseason, you're trying to get back to the playoffs, you're trying to keep your job so you don't get fired, you know, this maybe isn't that draft. But I think Milwaukee, you know, drafting late in the first round, can hopefully find a guy who could be a rotation player and, you know, maybe down the road can be a more important player down the road.
The nice thing is here, as we sit right now, they're right around like 25, 26, I want to say, but they also have Portland's second round pick. Which is going to be early there in the second round. So they're going to be in a position, if they want, to take both those picks and possibly move up in the first round. To take 26 and 35 maybe and move up inside of the top 20.
Right, and Portland's pick, like you said, will be a very high. I actually like having those early second round picks because, A, you could either draft a foreign player, maybe stash him overseas, or worst case scenario, you get a player who you don't have to necessarily give a guaranteed 3-year deal to and can maybe gamble that way. And we've seen a lot of players, whether you look at, you know, Draymond Green, I think was a great example, a player who was an early second round pick. Back then, he was a senior, and, you know, sometimes teams, I think, sometimes go too far. The thought for a while there was if you're a senior, that means you weren't good enough to turn pro. But obviously, Draymond Green went through a great situation with Golden State. You know, does some of the dirty work that maybe a little too much dirty work at times, but, you know, does those little things, takes a charge, gets a rebound, you know, makes a key pass that will help you win games. And I think sometimes you can get those players in the second round who turn out to be very good players. Obviously, you know, Chris Middleton's another great example, 48th pick in the first round by Detroit, didn't really find his footing until he got to Milwaukee. But obviously, he's been a key player for the Bucks the last several years.
What about this kid from Dayton, Deron Holmes II? I saw that he's ranked somewhere around 15 to 20.
Yeah, he had a monster game. Dayton, you know, made that big comeback.
Huge comeback.
They outscored Nevada 21-4 down the stretch, and he was a key player. The Atlantic 10 Defensive Player of the Year, long, athletic, 6'10", can block shots, can be a defensive presence. And you're right, he's a player who, if he were somehow available for Milwaukee, I think would make some sense. They're a team that some of their veterans, you know, with Portis and Lopez, you know, they could maybe use some youth in the front court. So I think Holmes, you know, again, obviously he was on the radar already, but, you know, maybe more NBA fans who maybe don't watch a ton of college basketball are going to become more and more aware of him.
You know, the other thing that we talk about when we talk about this Bucks team is they have an aging center in Brook Lopez. And when we talk about centers in the NBA, no, they're not like they were in the 80s or early 90s, and I get that. But you still do need a rim protector and a guy that can stretch the floor a little bit. Is there anybody like that or a couple of guys like that that might be around there towards the end of the first round, early second round, that, you know, might be a little bit raw that you can work on developing? Because Brook Lopez is not getting any younger, and they have nobody else that does what he does currently on this roster.
Yeah, that's the problem. Big men, you know, it's so weird how they've changed. And even Brook Lopez, you look at him compared to when he came into the league out of Stanford, he's a totally different player. You know, wasn't really that much of an outside threat. Now, you know, one of the better shooting big men. And you're right. I think the big men, though, starting to make a little bit of a comeback when you look at players like, you know, Jokic, who I got a chance to see earlier this week play for Denver against Minnesota, even Minnesota, you know, kind of playing a little bit big ball at times with Karl Anthony Towns, who unfortunately is hurt right now, but Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid has really been a key player for that team. You look at Joel Embiid, you know, obviously Victor Wembanyama, you know, a 7'5 player, maybe not the strongest player, but I think once he fills out, will become even a better player. So I think there is a little bit of a turn back to that big man style. We just unfortunately don't see it a lot in college basketball. Zach Edey, obviously a player, you know, you look at a player who, like I said, probably will be the National Player of the Year back-to-back years, but he's probably, you know, at best case, maybe a late first round, more likely second round pick. Last year, the the year before that, the National Player of the Year from Kentucky wasn't even drafted. You know, Luka Garza, I thought, could have been National Player of the Year 2 years in a row. You know, he was a late second-round pick who hasn't really got his footing yet in the NBA. So I think there is a little bit of a turn. I think maybe the NBA, you know, even college basketball, maybe went a little too far with three-point shooting. Everybody wanted to be like Golden State, but the reason Golden State can do it is they had Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. A lot of teams don't have that. But I think you're going to start seeing a little bit more return to maybe the big men and the importance of having, you know, a 6'11", 7-foot player in the NBA.
In college, Tyler Kolek has been a beast at Marquette the last couple of years. What does that look like for him transitioning over? Is he a draftable player? Is he a second-round player, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, like you said, he's a talented player. You know, got a chance to see him back at George Mason because they're a team that recruits a lot of Minnesota players. Obviously made a big impact for Marquette, and Shaka Smart, you know, was, you know, a great pickup for him. He kind of flew under the radar, but had a great season last year. And, you know, obviously he's had some injuries down the stretch, but a very key player for Marquette and the reason why they've been a high seed the last two NCAA tournaments.
What about Osa Igodaro? Again, this is another big, I don't think he's 7 foot, 6'10", 6'11". Doesn't shoot the ball necessarily all that well from outside, but does so many other things, including being a really good passer.
Yeah, and I think that's a player that maybe is a little bit under the radar. I think you look at him as a player, like you said, probably 6'11", you know, 225 maybe, but a player, long, athletic, runs the floor extremely well. And I think, you know, the NBA is so much sometimes getting with the right team. You can be a high pick, but if you're going to a team that maybe doesn't have a use for you or maybe a veteran team, you're going to kind of get lost in transition. But I think he's a player, you know, because he does some of those little things, like you said, can be a defensive presence for sure, needs to continue to improve his offensive game. But I think he's a player who could be a nice rotation player in the NBA.
What about DJ Wagner, son of DeJuan Wagner? And you remember Mike Maxey, our guy, who just loved him some DeJuan Wagner, just loved him against, you know, DeJuan Wagner, Dwayne Wade. He loved him some DeJuan Wagner, and that dude never, ever panned out. How good is his son?
Yeah, very talented. Wagner, I saw there was someone on YouTube, and you can go into a rabbit hole sometimes with YouTube, and they were talking about the number one players in high school and whatever happened to him. And unfortunately, like you said, a big-time offensive talent, actually scored 100 points in a high school game. Yep. At Camden. Had a couple good years for Cleveland, but had a lot of health issues and really didn't play in the NBA nearly as long as you thought he would. But, you know, Wagner, a very talented player. I mean, you look at Kentucky, they lost today to a Oakland team, you know, that shot the lights out. But they have a lot of individual talent. When you look at Wagner, Reed Shepard, a player I really liked a lot. His dad, of course, Jeff Shepard, was the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament when Kentucky won a national championship. His mom also was a standout player for Kentucky as well. So I think Kentucky definitely has some talented guards, and I think Wagner's definitely in that mix.
And you won't see anything more of them if you didn't watch them today, because as you pointed out, they have lost and they are going home. When you talk about the Badgers and Marquette, and specifically the Badgers, because I think what Marquette has done has been pretty impressive under Shaka Smart. What the Badgers have done with Greg Gard, I think, in large degree, a lot of people around here have had their fill of Greg Gard and want to move on. Gard has his supporters, obviously, that want to see him continue to be here because they normally are an NCAA tournament team year over year. But that was the same thing with Paul Chris in college football, being consistently a bowl game, and they still made a move with Paul Chris. How good do you think Gard is and what he does as coach and recruiter?
Yeah, I think he does a good job. Obviously, I live in Lakeville, Minnesota, and if you know anything about the Badger roster, they have a lot of Lakeville kids.
Yep.
Nolan Winter and Tyler Wall, and they have another one coming next year, Jack Robeson, who I think will be a nice player for them. Daniel Freetag, who's playing in the state tournament this week for Breck High School, another talented player. And I like what they did with this class. You know, Blackwell wasn't considered a big-time recruit. You know, a lot of people question that one, but he has been an outstanding player, obviously getting A.J. Storr, a couple other Minnesota kids, like I mentioned with Wall and Windsor, but Stephen Kroll, I think, is a player who's really improved a lot throughout his career. You know, he's done a good job adding some local kids who maybe went someplace else, like Max Clement, McGee. I thought did a nice job at times during the Big Ten tournament was here when Chucky was sideline. You know, they're a team that I think could be a little bit more offensively proficient at times. You know, sometimes I think they play that slower style. They don't play like maybe they used to in the old days under Coach Bennett or even Coach Ryan. I think they're more efficient offensively. But you're right. I think, you know, last year was a disappointing season, not making the NCAA tournament and then kind of blowing a game in the NIT early. But I was really impressed with how well they played, I thought, in the Big Ten tournament here in Minneapolis last week. You know, beat a very, very good Purdue team, a team that's the number one seed, and, you know, gave Illinois all they could handle. You know, I thought they played extremely well in their early games, too, in the Big Ten tournament. You're right. There's going to be some questions, and obviously, you know, when you're at Wisconsin, you're never going to maybe get the big, big-time talent, and they maybe haven't gotten some of the in-state players, like I mentioned with Pewaukee. Neither of those players, I thought, really looked at Wisconsin maybe as hard as you would like if you're a Badger fan. But I thought they've done a great job, you know, recruiting the Midwest, especially Minnesota. I know being a Minnesota person, a lot of people don't like that so many kids from, you know, the Twin Cities area especially have gone on and been very successful at Wisconsin. So I think Greg Gard's got a very good job. You know, right, you sometimes you wonder if coaches, you know, have kind of a timeline, how long they can stay in a spot and maybe need to move on. But I think he's got a very good job, and obviously, you know, their team, I think, could make a decent run. I think they're definitely capable of making a Sweet 16 run at least. I think they have a tough matchup against James Madison. I think it's a team that, you know, if they had a different name but had the same resume, you'd look at them a little bit higher as a higher potential seed. So I think they're going to have a tough first-round matchup. But I think Wisconsin's definitely a team that's capable of winning a couple games in the NCAA tournament this year.
Talking with Chris Monzer, College Basketball News. Follow him on Twitter at @CollegeBBNews, @CollegeBBNews. Been doing this for many a year. I've known Chris for, I don't know, 20 years, something like that. It's been a long time. And the one thing I discovered, last year from Chris that I didn't realize in the past was he is obsessed with going to concerts. Like, obsessed to the point where the man sent me the concerts he went to in 2022, because this was like last May when he sent me the list of 23. But in 2022, he went to 169 concerts. 169! And gave me who it was, where it was, the date it was. 169 concerts he went to in 2022. When I last checked in with you last May, I think you were at like 50 or 51 into May. How many did you end up going to last year?
Yeah, last year I didn't quite hit as many, 143, which was still a lot, obviously. You know, I thought in 2022, because of COVID, you know, I went to four shows in 2020. I went to four, and then basically the world shut down. Right. And then even in the following year, nothing really opened until like July. So I did like 79 that year. So every year I tried to beat that record, and 169 was a lot because, like I said, I feel like because of COVID, a lot of people, to be honest, probably needed the money. They hadn't been able to tour for a while, so there were a lot of shows. And one nice thing about Minnesota is we have a lot of great venues. First Avenue, of course, well known for Prince, but we have, you know, a lot of casinos that have indoor and also amphitheaters. We have U.S. Bank Stadium where the Vikings play, Target Field where the Twins play that has shows, even Huntington Bank Stadium where the Gopher football team plays. And unlike a lot of cities like Chicago, we have a pro basketball arena, Target Center, and a pro hockey for the NHL, the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. So those two venues are competing. So I feel like we get a lot of shows here that maybe similar-sized cities maybe don't get. So there's a lot of shows, and my perfect day, I had like the perfect day. I've kind of got obsessed with pickleball lately, and I play a lot of ping pong anyway. So I went to play pickleball, played ping pong, went to a basketball game, and then went to a concert. So that was like the perfect day for me to get hit four of my favorite things all in one day.
That is wild. It's Chris Monzer. Thanks so much for coming on, my friend, and we'll talk more as we get closer to the draft, I'm sure.
I look forward to it. Thanks again. Hope you have a great day.
You betcha. You too. There he is. Chris Monzer here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's. And again, like I said earlier, there is only one place to be. when you're talking about going out and watching your favorite teams, basketball, baseball, football, whatever the case may be. And that is Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It's about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold with a huge video wall seating for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more. The new Pottawatomie Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens up this May. This May already, it's going to be open, and then you're probably just going to want to move in. That's probably how this is going to play out. Take a quick timeout, come back. Bucks get the victory tonight over the Brooklyn Nets. They blew a 20-point lead, but still were able to hold on and come back and win 115-108. Next up, Sunday night against Oklahoma City. We'll be back on the air following that one, too. Up next, I want you to hear from Doc Rivers, who talked after the game, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Let's hear what the coach had to say about today's game. Next on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
A Bucks victory in the books, 115-108 over the Brooklyn Nets. Next up, Oklahoma City coming up on Sunday. We'll be on immediately following that one. After the final buzzer, we make the switch, 1250 AM, The Fan. And we will be right here for you. Damian Lillard leads the way for the Bucks tonight. 30 points, 12 assists, 3 boards, and 37 minutes of action. 11 of 22 from the floor. Giannis, 21-9-5. 17-5 for Brooke Lopez. A.J. Green was the story of the game, so they blew that lead. He hit 5 threes tonight in 14 minutes of action, had 15 points and a couple of rebounds for him. Malik Beasley hit a big three there to ice the game late, 16 points, 6 boards. He had 2 of 7 from 3, 5 of 10 from the field. Doc Rivers talked after the game, and this is what he had to say, courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin.
You know, at halftime, I was telling our coaches, it's going to be a tight game. You just feel it. You know, they had so much more energy. They were here sitting there watching us play last night, late in the season. You know, you just could feel it. I swear you could. And so I liked how we kind of gathered ourselves. They took the lead. We came back. We got stops. Dame defensively was phenomenal tonight, all game, you know. He's a very competitive guy, and you could see that tonight.
I think in the third quarter, they're outscoring you 23-11, and then AJ hits a couple threes late. You kind of salvaged that third quarter.
Just well, we didn't play well at the beginning of the third. You know, we came out kind of flat, didn't play with any pace. You know, the first half, the ball was hopping. It was beautiful. And then we kind of went back to that old, you know, hold the ball, no movement style, which we're talented enough to get away with it, but it's not the way you're going to win in the long run. And we had to play ourselves through that. And I thought we did that.
That kind of happened, too, in the second before AJ came in. Is he, like, sort of an automatic ball mover? Because it feels like the guys are looking to get it.
Yeah, it helps because he knows how. Him and Pat Connaughton are probably the two best guys as far as just moving without the ball. And that helps your offense at times, you know. I do think we got to give Malik some more movement stuff. He didn't have a lot of, like, you know, a lot of his stuff is catch and shoot. And so, you know, we've been talking about putting him and Malik together, AJ and Malik together, and running, you know, some actions. Because I do think they can create an offense with their ability to shoot the ball and move without the ball.
Giannis went today. Just what did you think of just how he played and his impact in the game, especially early?
Yeah, it was great. Was cool. You know, he was the one that was sitting there with Brooklyn. You know, so we used his energy to our. I mean, he was as fresh as the days. He was running down the floor, and I thought he got a little tired at the end. I used that timeout. I think with 2:04 left because of that. And I wanted to save that, to be honest, but I asked him, "You need one?" He said, "Yeah." So I gave us a timeout
To start tonight. It looked like it was a priority to try to post up Brooke. That's something that you guys haven't done incredibly well.
But they're putting smalls on him, and we got to get him to keep rolling. Like, he's got to keep rolling. And I thought our guys made a conscious effort of, you know, if they're going to put a small on you, you set a pick, you roll down the middle of the lane, and we'll get you the ball. I thought the first group did a great job. A couple times I even thought they forced it down there. But it's good for Brooke.
Another night with double digit assists from Dame. Just what have you seen from him kind of taking on a bigger part of that role?
It's just he has the ball in his hands more, you know, and the more he has it, the more confident he is to run the team. You know, I don't think Dame's run the team this year. Now he's running the team with him and Giannis, and I think it's a good combination.
What's a more specific definition of ball movement? Is it consecutive possessions? Is it certain opportunities?
Or yeah, yeah. For me, it's balling people. If you're just moving the ball around the horn, you know, what are you getting? But, you know, we kept saying, we called it our exchange action. After you come off and swing it, can someone cut? Can someone move? I've never heard our bench more in the second half. Like, dive, cut, move, because everyone was standing. Sometimes that's fatigue, honestly, and you can see a little bit of it.
There you go. We're back to talking about the guys yelling from the bench, telling the people on the floor what they should be doing. And he admitted that it could be fatigue. I brought that up earlier in the show. That, sure, that could be something. Because, again, it's late in the season. Back-to-backs always suck late in the season. They suck in the middle of the season, too. But in today's NBA, you don't get nearly as many as you used to. For sure. That does not happen nearly as much as it did before. And that was a conscious decision made by the NBA to do away with that, to try and help prevent injuries and try and get these guys to play more games without having to have rest days and so forth, like you did today with Chris Middleton. But again, he was coming off injury, so that to me is completely acceptable. But that's the type of stuff where that bench, far more important than people realize, with them being vocal and yelling at the guys on the floor, reminding them of, you know, what Doc wants kind of going forward. Time now for this.
Who was the player of the game? Who stood out? Let's find out who the MVP of the game is next on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I really am kind of disappointed. I really am. Because I was really fully all in. All in, I tell you. On AJ Green was going to get this MVP award tonight. All in on that happening tonight. Hit five threes in the game. Five threes. And you don't get the opportunity to do anything with it because they blew the lead and everybody else got involved. But again, he had a hell of a game.
A.J. Green trying to come to the rescue. Yes, sir. His fourth of the night splashes another one through.
That's great action between he and Giannis. You know, little dribble handoff and then reestablished behind the three-point line in Giannis's passing vision for the kickback.
Boy, those three-point shooters, we talked about Dame. He can calm the nerves a little bit when things get dicey. And A.J. Green just did it again.
Again, that made it 74-67. And then he hit another one.
Bobby Portis to kind of step up and start getting into his offensive package.
Here's Pat Bev on the drive. He finds Green. Not this time, but the rebound down low, and they're going to get another look at it. Green says, I'm not shy.
Yeah. Don't worry.
A.J. Green, five three-pointers tonight off the bench, giving his team a huge lift to the tune of 15 points in 10 minutes of action.
Again, wanted to give A.J. Green MVP. Can't do it now. Can't do it. That made it 77-67. Five threes. Doesn't matter. Highlands courtesy of Bally Sports, Wisconsin. Instead, it's got to go to Dame Lillard. I just don't. There's no other way to go about this. You have to give it to Dame Lillard, right? You just have to. 30 points, 12 assists, 3 boards, 11 of 22, 5 of 11 from 3. And he did everything, like we said. He was that guy in the fourth quarter that really kind of put this thing away, whether it be getting big steals, whether it be getting big threes. He kind of did it all himself there in the fourth quarter down the stretch and was huge for this team. It's absolutely huge. So Dame Lillard, your MVP. As I have been saying throughout the show, Oklahoma City is the next game coming up on Sunday nights. I will be here immediately following that game. So when the game's done, you turn on 1250 AM The Fan, and we'll be here with the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show served up by Wendy's. And hopefully we're talking about a Bucks victory against Oklahoma City Thunder. I'll be honest, I have my doubts of how this is going to look on Sunday night. But we will see. Hopefully Lillard has another big game and they're fine. That'll do it. Bucks win 115-108. Enjoy the rest of your night. Drive safely tomorrow. Have a good night. Toodles.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or
I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.